Amen. We are grateful that our God is indeed alive. He has all power. He is the sovereign ruler of the universe. And he looks out over us as his children. He watches out for us as his children. He provides us with everything that we need. He loves us with a deep and redemptive love. And we are just thankful that we are his and that he is ours. I'm glad to be here this morning. I'm glad to be here every time that the saints meet. I express the sentiments of David when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. We should always be glad to have the privilege and the opportunity to worship God, our Heavenly Father. And we should always be glad to see our brothers and sisters in Christ. Every time the saints assemble, we are having and experiencing a wonderful family reunion. When we come together as God's people, when we come together as family, it's good to see each of you here. We invite you at this time to get your Bibles that we might study together from the Word of God. We've been studying this fall. We've been studying the book of Joshua. Our lesson last week contained an expression that I want to focus on today, and I'd like for you to think about it and examine it and focus upon it with me. From Joshua chapter 3, Joshua chapter 3, we've had read verses 1 through 4. They are preparing now to leave the east side of the Jordan and cross over to the other side. These instructions and descriptions were given and clarified for the benefit of the people. I will begin again, just for the sake of reemphasis, Joshua 3, verses 1 through 4. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove, or Shittim in the King James Version, and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel enlarged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. That is, after the Ark of the Covenant, which signified the presence of God and the covenant relationship he had established with his people, Israel. It was to be utilized under these circumstances as a means of God leading them. Notice verse number 4. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. And I'm told that was about 3,000 feet, or a little over half a mile. They were to stay back from the Ark of the Covenant. He said, do not come near it. Keep your distance, that you may know the way by which you must go. They needed to be far enough away from the Ark of the Covenant and those who were bearing the Ark so they could see clearly. See, what you want to keep in mind is that there were approximately 3 million folk that had to cross over the Jordan. And I don't know how long it took them, but it probably took them at least 8 hours. Now, this is speculation. I'm not saying this is set in concrete. But when you have about 3 million individuals following the Ark of the Covenant, they needed to be far enough back so they could see clearly which way the ark was being carried. That was the means by which God was guiding them. He says, do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. And now I want you to narrow your focus on the following words. For you have not passed this way before. For you have not passed this way before. The symbolic significance of Joshua's statement, for you have not passed this way before, has hardly been lost on the millions who have read his words in subsequent generations, including our own. From birth to death, believers and unbelievers, men and women have been pilgrims, each passing through a world of sin and experiences they have never seen before. That's the way it is with life itself. We are passing through this world, and we are experiencing things we've never experienced before. We are going through things we have never gone through before. We are witnessing things that we have never seen before. And we need to keep this in mind. When we think about the fact that the way we go, that we are passing through a world and experiences that we have never seen before, that points up the fact that we need somebody who is knowledgeable, who is wise, who is adequate and sufficient to guide us, because we've never seen. You know, this very day, when I got up this morning, I realized that I had not passed this way before. I had not experienced this day before. And as I pass through this day, I don't know what's going to happen by the end of the day. I don't know what experiences I'm going to have by the end of the day. I don't know what challenges I'm going to face before the end of the day. Anything can happen, because this is a brand new day. I've never seen this day before. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I entrust myself and I entrust this day into the hands of a competent and capable and loving Heavenly Father. So no matter what happens, no matter what I face, I'm confident that God and I can handle it together. And of course, He'll be doing most of the handling. I'm pretty much going along for the ride. We sing all of the time, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. As we approach each brand new year, we should thoughtfully begin that adventurous journey with the clear awareness that we have not passed this way before. And we have witnessed that already. You know, we are moving on toward October, the 10th month. And we have November and December after those. When we started out January the 1st, we had no clear concept of what we would be in store for in 2018. We had no idea of exactly what would happen. And we have a ways to go yet. We have about 3.5 months left. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know exactly what's going to take place. You know, we have lost some members this year. We didn't anticipate losing those particular members. We had no real concept or understanding of losing these members. I think about the beloved Carrie English, for instance. This time last year, this time at the beginning of this year, she was sailing along tranquilly on the sea of life with eager winds kissing every sail. I thought Carrie would live to see 100. She was so robust. She was so full of energy. She was so loving. She was so active. We didn't know when we started out January 1st that Carrie wouldn't be with us at this time. And it's very possible that we'll lose some others before December 31st, 2018. I don't know that, but I recognize the possibility of it because we have not passed this way before. Sister Maxine Shelton. I used to always say, and I tell Maxine when I'd go to visit, I said, Maxine, you tough. You made out of some good material. You are like Timex. You can take a licking and keep on ticking. Experienced multiple hospitalizations. It seemed like every time, Eric, she would bounce back. And she seemed to have been grateful for all that God did for her. But we didn't realize that this time, this far into 2018, that Maxine would not be with us anymore. But we have not passed this way before. And we don't know what tomorrow holds. We don't know whether or not we'll be here tomorrow. I'm reminded of the cogent and sobering words expressed by James in James 4, 13 through 17. James says, come now, ye who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what shall happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. You might not get a chance to pass through tomorrow. You might not make it till tomorrow. That's sobering for me. That's communicating the seriousness, the brevity, and the fragility of life for me. And so I just kind of walk on by faith. You know, Paul says that we walk by faith and not by sight. We need to remember each and every day that we have not passed this way before. As we approach each brand new year, we should thoughtfully begin that adventurous journey with the clear awareness that we have not passed this way before. The same is true of every new day, of every new week, of every new month. In each instance, we are embarking upon a new venture we have not witnessed or experienced before. Whenever we embark upon such a new adventure or embrace such a new experience, we should face this sobering reality. I have not passed this way before. I must take it one step at a time. I must take it one day at a time. Not get ahead of myself, and definitely not get ahead of God. When a little kid enters kindergarten, he has not passed that way before. It's brand new for him. When a young lady enters high school, she realizes, I've not passed this way before. So they might be a little apprehensive because they have not experienced this. And some folks are a little nervous. Some people are a little anxious when they're facing new experiences. When a student begins his college program of study, he recognizes, I have not passed this way before. Whenever one begins a new and different job, he recognizes, I have not passed this way before. When everyone begins or looks at the marriage arena, when a young man finds Miss Wright and enters into marriage, he might have a hazy idea of what marriage is going to be like. He might feel like, well, I think I know pretty well what this is going to be like. But when you say, I do, Jack Evans says, you're going to find out you're going to do a lot of things you didn't know you were going to do. Because you have not passed this way before. So you need to be prepared to deal with whatever reality you're going to be facing. You are wise to realize, I need help. I need some guidance. I need somebody to show the way, to lead the way. The fact is, life is fraught with dangerous uncertainties. My heart bleeds for young Mitch Green. In an instant, motorcycle accident devastated his bike. It crumbled that motorcycle on which he was riding. And it seems that he was killed instantly. He didn't know that was coming. He didn't know he'd be facing death this soon. If my information is correct, 38 years old. He's no longer with us. You can be up walking around 1 week and in the ground the next week. And I think that it's good that God does not reveal to us, and this is my own personal opinion, I think it's good that God does not reveal to us how we're going to make our exit from this world. I think it's good that God does not let us know in advance some of the challenges we'll be facing, some of the problems, some of the difficulties, some of the trials, some of the tribulations we'll be facing. He does not inform us in advance. And I think he is wise to do so, because it in a real sense forces us to live and to walk by faith. We need somebody to help us navigate the meandering pathway of life. Jeremiah realized that we are incapable of making our own way appropriately through life. Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Man must depend upon an outside and reliable source for guidance and direction. There is no miraculous GPS system originating with man that can help him safely navigate his way through life. We need somebody to help us navigate our way through life. As we travel through life with its troubles and strifes, we encounter unexpected challenges, protracted problems, debilitating accidents, frustrating roadblocks, surprising setbacks, dire disappointments, serious struggles, thrilling triumphs, traumatizing tragedies, encouraging gains, discouraging losses, thrilling victories, satisfying successes, and agonizing defeat. They are all part and parcel of life. But all the while, as God's people, we can experience the unparalleled peace that surpasses understanding and defies logical explanation. And in accord with his divine grace and his tender mercy, we can bask in the glorious sunlight of God's radiant and comforting love and approval, having the assurance of eternal salvation, and say with the venerable Apostle Paul, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. We don't have to know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't have to know what challenges we're going to face tomorrow. We don't have to be aware of everything that the future holds for us. As long as we realize and rest our faith upon the reality that God knows the future and God holds tomorrow, he cannot be confined to the realm of time. God is aware of past, present, and future because he is eternal. He understands what's going to happen, and he qualifies to be the reliable guide that we need as he goes ahead of us and as he leads us. Jesus in John chapter 8 and verse 12 spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you want to make your way safely through this world of sin and sorrow, follow Jesus. As Clifford often reminds us, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all of our sins. The Lord is more than able, more than qualified to lead us through this veil of shadows. Psalm 27 and verse number 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. See, if you are led by the Lord, you don't have to worry about the enemies tripping you up. Psalm 31 and verse 3, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. I'm with the psalmist. I want God to lead me. I'm with the psalmist. I want God to guide me. See, I'm less likely to get into trouble if I'm following God. I'm less likely to falter and fail if I follow God. Psalm 32, verse number 8, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Isn't it wonderful that God can guide us with his eye? Well, how does that work? I believe that it works in triggering within us a mechanism that makes us aware that God sees everything and God is watching over us. My mama used to guide me with her eye. When I was a little boy, I tended to be mischievous at times. I know y'all find that hard to believe. But I tended to be mischievous at times. And all mama had to do, or all daddy had to do, didn't have to say a word, didn't have to reprimand me verbally. But all mama had to do was look at me. I immediately straighten up. I immediately start behaving because I knew what that look meant. I recognized that she was seeking to guide me with her eye. Verse number 14 of Psalm 48, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. He will lead us to the very last mile of the way. And we'll be able to rest at the close of the day. Entrust your life into the care and direction of God. Paul in Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, and if you are to let God lead you, if you are to let the Lord lead you and guide you, you need to follow these instructions, Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, which means that you walk literally looking around. Circumspect comes from the Latin, which circum means around, spectar means to see. So to walk circumspectly, circumspectly is an adverb, modifying walk. To walk circumspectly is to walk literally looking around, being aware of your environment. You remember, as we prepare to close, you remember Dorothy and Toto. Or was it Tito? Toto, Dorothy and Toto, in The Wizard of Oz. They had never traveled the yellow brick road before. They faced an uncertain future. They encountered a number of characters and experiences that were brand new to them because they had not passed that way before. Similarly, as we make our way down the winding road of life, we will face similar occurrences and unexpected events and an interesting and challenging assortment of colorful characters. I met one this morning on the way to church. I won't tell you about him, but Dorothy was trying to make her way to Oz. She was in search of who was called the Wonderful Wizard of Oz. And I'm not endorsing the philosophy of the ones who crafted this movie. But I'm using it to illustrate the reality that many roads we travel down in life, we have not traveled before. Now, we are trying to please God. Dorothy was in search of the wizard, but the wizard was duplicitous. The wizard was deceitful, deceptive. He was unreliable. But God, our reliable guide, possesses the highest wisdom, the greatest power, and most awesome presence. And we can put the full weight of our trust upon him and in him, confident that he will guide us safely all the way. The Lord, when he was leading the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt, he had a wonderful means by which he led them. And again, you're talking about maybe several million people. How did he lead them out of Egypt? How did he lead them across the Red Sea? How did he lead them into the wilderness? How did he lead them as they wandered in the wilderness? He led them by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. How does he lead us today? He leads us principally through his word, through his will. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. So God leads us, but we have to have respect for and reverence for his word. If we are to be led through life properly, if we are to be led through life safely, we have to have respect for his word. Some people claim they want God to lead them, but they want to lead, want him to lead them, but they want to disregard and ignore and reject or refuse his word. And some people want to claim kinship with God and claim favor with God and claim approval of God, but yet reject his word. If you want God to lead you, you have to embrace his word. If you want God to be your guide, you have to embrace his word. Maybe you're tired of stumbling through life and wandering through life like the meandering Israelites wandering in the wilderness, and you want to line up behind the Lord and you want to submit your life to him, or you want to resubmit your life to him, and you want to entrust your future into his care, recognizing that you have not passed this way before. If you will allow him to, the Lord is more than happy. He's more than willing to guide you. If you are here and you are not following the word and will of God, if you are not a part of his family, if you have not embraced his plan of salvation, I'd like to encourage you to do that today. He's already proven his love. He's already proven his trustworthiness. All you have to do is accept him. He loved you so much that he died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and for mine. He loved you so much that he sacrificed his life and shed his blood, took your penalty for your sins upon himself and died in your place, died for your sins. That's love. That's the gospel of Christ. The fact that Jesus died for you and died for me, and he was buried in a borrowed tomb and arose from the grave on the third day. Will you believe that good news of the gospel? All of us were condemned to die, but Jesus took our place. He bore it all that we might live. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. He's paid the penalty in our place. He was our substitute when he died, not for his sins, but for ours. He died, was buried, and arose again on the third day from the grave, making our salvation possible. Believe that with all of your heart. Repent of all of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ as the Son of God. Accept the forgiveness which he offers. Do you want to make that decision today? Accepting what Jesus has done on your behalf. It won't do you any good. It won't bring you any benefits. It won't result in the forgiveness of your sins. It won't result in you being saved unless you act upon it in obedience. Do you believe that good news that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and died for you and for your sins? Are you willing to repent of your sins? Are you willing to turn away from your old way of life, to give up your old practices, to give up your old behaviors? That's called repentance. And Jesus says it's mandatory that you repent. And are you willing to confess before this audience the fact that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And are you willing to submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins, as Trey Shelton did 2 weeks ago? Are you willing to embrace the brand new life that comes following baptism? Maybe you're here and you're already a child of God. Maybe you're already a Christian, but maybe you've fallen by the wayside. Maybe you have failed. Maybe you have had a lapse of faith and faithfulness. You don't have to remain in that condition. Through repentance, through confession or acknowledgement of sin, and through prayer, you can be forgiven, you can be restored, you can enter the wonderful land of beginning again. But it's a decision that you have to make. Don't stay outside any longer. Why not come from the far country? Why not come back home as did the prodigal son in Luke 15? Why not surrender to God as we together stand and as we sing?
Jesus is tenderly calling me home.
Calling today.